Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But getting to a more serious matter right now, Puerto Rico, because actually Lin-Manuel Miranda is talking about Puerto Rico and the state it's in. It's in financial crisis. And we're going to be talking about China's in financial crisis, the Israel's in financial difficulties taking place as a grant or money's been given to their soldiers for $8.5 million to be able to help provide the needs for their soldiers. Look, America's economy is in a difficult place right now. It's a very difficult place. And Puerto Rico's suffering. As a matter of fact, let's go right now talking about Puerto Rico. By the way, if you don't know about Puerto Rico, we're going to be talking details about it, but it was founded by Ponce de Leon, and it became a territory of America, but it's not a state. So it's part of the, it's like 3.5 million folks that live there, but it's in crisis now, so much so that we may be seeing the 51st state coming soon. Let's take a look.
And I'm not here as a politician. I think anyone who sees or hears Hamilton knows of my healthy cynicism and allergy to politics. But we have a humanitarian crisis on our hands. So I want to talk to you about the Puerto Rico I remember. I grew up in New York City, in Upper Manhattan. My parents were both born on the island. My dad came here, just like Hamilton, to get his education when he was 18 years old. He came to New York. And I got sent there every summer to stay with my grandparents. It's a little town called Vega Alta, Puerto Rico. My grandfather was the manager of the town bank, just like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. My grandmother ran a travel agency called Viajes Miranda, Miranda Travel. My aunt owned the school supply next door, and I was, if you've ever seen In the Heights, I was Sunny. I sold slushies in the summertime to the kids because school starts in August in Puerto Rico. And these were the most important months of my year every year. It was, first of all, a month of total immersion in Spanish, but it was also falling in love with my island in a real way, not in the abstract way. When your parents come from somewhere else, they tell you stories, but it was me learning to live in Puerto Rico and fall in love with my culture and fall in love with my people. And I remember, you know, and this may resonate with you if you're a first-generation American. When you go back to your home country or your ancestral origin, you go back and you go, oh, in New York, we may be the janitors and we may be the maids. In Puerto Rico, the doctors and lawyers are Puerto Rican. Everyone's Puerto Rican. It's like the bee girl in the Blind Melon video when she opens the garden and sees all the other bee folks. These are my people. And that connection is so important. And I'm here to talk to you about that because the doctors and lawyers are leaving Puerto Rico right now. We face a financial crisis that triples anything you're experiencing here in the United States. And it's a solvable, fixable crisis. And what we really need is help. And what we really need is help from Congress. This is not a bipartisan issue. This is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democratic issue. What we need is the ability to restructure and get Puerto Rico out of the hole it's in. And I'm going to let the experts here talk about what we can do that. But what I want to tell you is that there's the town I grew up in, the town I just painted for you, the bank, the travel agency, the school supply store, those are all gone. Vega Alta is a dying town. The only people who live there now are the people who can't afford to leave. And everyone else who can afford to leave is coming here or going somewhere else because there are no jobs. And last week, a hospital was shut down because they couldn't afford to pay these taxes. So I'm urging Congress, if Hamilton tickets will help, I'm happy to do that too. Oh, I know a guy. But seriously, this is a fixable issue, and if I can put a human face on the people that are suffering, I'm happy to do it, and I'm happy to hear to speak on behalf of my island and my people, who are, by the way, American citizens. They fight in our wars, they pay taxes, and they don't get to vote for President of the United States, so that's why Puerto Ricans on the island have a duty to speak on their behalf, and that's what I'm here to do today.
So you're looking at you're looking at a, they don't have the constitutional protection. Being somebody that is unincorporated territory, it says specifically they're under the control of the United States, but they have only some of the fundamental rights of the Constitution, of laws, but not all the constitutional protections, one of which, I understand, is bankruptcy. They're not able to do that. And of course, that you don't want to do that as a state either way. But it's financial crisis that's taking place. And even in Israel right now, that a Christian organization we'll be talking about after this break, gave their soldiers, the Israeli Defense Force, you hear us talk about IDF, that stands for Israeli Defense Force, it's like the U.S. military, $8.5 million to be able to help out with the needs of the soldiers. And China is also, the communist leaders are meeting because of the financial crisis taking place in China. This is not a good thing, but the church is praying that China's leaders would begin to understand that it needs to be a Christian nation, that China needs to be a Christian nation. These are very interesting days. Speaking of Puerto Rico, I'm looking at what the Wikipedia says about the nation. It says 3,474,000 folks that
about
are there.
About 3.5.
But what I thought was pretty interesting, the ethnicity of Puerto Rico is 70% white and 13% black and 11% other.
Yeah.
What happened to Puerto Rican people?
That's been long what people decided. I mean, think about it. It's all mixed, you know.
Are they different? I mean, but you're Puerto Rican.
Puerto Ricans are made up of three types of people, part Borinquen, Taino Indian, part European, and part African. And so it's a whole melting pot that occurs, I mean, Puerto Rican. And
so they just called the race white.
Yeah, it's strange because you have Africans that are actually Puerto Ricans. Right. It's in the actual blood. But it's a big, actually, there's the whole race divide as well. It's really complicated.
Of course, if people think about, you know, nationality as skin color, that's one thing. But I'm talking about nationality in regards to a people group who has a culture and
an own distinct culture.
Because the ethnicity, that it's all different shades of skin. But I just thought it was pretty interesting that it was 76%.
Interesting.
Yeah.
3.5 million in mainland and about 5.something million in the United States.
If you compared the population of Puerto Rico with Kansas or...
Yeah, actually, there's an article here on Bloomberg that says that Puerto Rico's combined population is equivalent to the state of Oklahoma, and the economy is actually smaller than Kansas, yet their debt of $70
billion... $70
billion. ...is more than any state in our country besides New York and California. So it's an exorbitant
amount. Between a rock and a hard place, because economy is the life's blood. That's
absolutely
things that are happening. And like he was talking about, the executive class doctors and all, they're leaving and coming to...
By the droves. In fact, they're coming to Florida. A lot of them are leaving, and so a lot of people can't afford to leave. We saw this thing happen.
We don't mind them coming to Florida.
Well, hey, come on.
Let's come to Florida.
But, you know, same thing happened in Detroit. Those people that were able to leave, that had economic, you know, ability to leave, left, and the people that stayed behind are the people that couldn't afford to leave.
Oh, okay.
So now the areas in, you know, crime, who takes advantage of that type of situation?
I think everything's being organized to the point where they want to bring Puerto Rico into as a statehood.
Yeah.
And you're looking at that kind of pressure, financial pressures, when people make decisions like, yeah, we'll have gambling. Yeah. You know, like, where did that come from? You know, we got to balance the budget.
Exactly.
You know?
They say this. What got them into this place is the same thing that happened in the 1970s in New York City. That's when New York City was actually going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get out of it. So remember, the Bronx was burning and all that. They were able to get out of it because it was politically correct to be able to take care of that in New York. Right. But right now, I mean, this is what's going on in Puerto Rico, but we got China. You got all these different places.
Across the world. I mean, if America gets a cold, the world gets the flu.
Yeah.
Financially, America's got the flu, and we don't even know it. We haven't been diagnosed yet.
But listen, if hard times help people to come back to God, I mean, that's what's important here, is that people realize that, hey, we need to get back to God. And I thought it was interesting, that Puerto Rico's coat of arms.
Yeah,
if you look at it.
You can see it right here.
It's interesting because right from the very, you know, beginning there, that lamb represents the Lamb of God.
So that's our coat of arms.
Coat of arms. Mm-hmm. The lamb is the Lamb of God. You got a cross, and the Lamb of God is sitting on the Bible. And you have the seven seals that are in Revelation.
Wow,
and
the book of Revelation.
Yeah, you just say, Lord, you know, do a great work in Puerto Rico. There's a lot of Christians in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And just say spiritual revival.
God's bringing it back to his original intent.
Yeah.
Because I'm at $70 billion in debt. They kind of left that original intent.
Oh, yeah.
In the context of that. Well, you know, speaking of that, we have, who's the organization?
It is
International Fellowship of Christian
and Jews.
And Jews. They're the ones that you see all the time that are saying, you know, help us get Jews from different countries to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a wonderful job of being able to do that.
Excellent. Yes.
And but the financial situation, like we're talking about Puerto Rico, in Israel, that obviously the military, the Israeli Defense Force, is made up of the Israeli peoples,
mm-hmm.
but they're in financial crisis. And so they're actually helping our difficulty. So they gave $8.5 million to the Israeli Defense Force to help their families with their basic needs.
That's beautiful.
I mean, but you think about it. I mean, why would, I mean, because you're looking at all of our economies are tied together thanks mm-hmm. to Woodrow Wilson and his yeah. League of Nations that led to the United Nations. And he said, this is what he said. He said, if you tie all the nations' economies together, then there'll never be war again, because mm-hmm. they know to have war means it hurts you financially. Yeah.
And could very well be the strategy that's being waged against Israel with the BDS, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions,
right.
which they try to co-opt the same movement that they did in South Africa with apartheid,
right.
but this is not apartheid.
And you can actually go to DAISY, the DAISY organization, whose leaders were living at the time of apartheid in it, and they're saying this is totally
an
affront to the true people who went through apartheid.
Yeah.
Israel is not that.
And yeah, what that is, boycott, yeah. is it's a movement. It's a strategy to say, listen, we don't want you to purchase things from Israel. We don't want you to do business with Israel. Why? Because of the two-state Palestinian solution, which really Israel and the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says, mm. we're ready. We have no problem with the two-state solution. Here we are. We're willing to give you a piece of land. We just have a minor thing that you have to agree to.
That we exist.
Hello, that we exist.
That you can't push it in the sea.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can't have a military. Hey, and they're taking care of them.
Isn't it amazing? Lucifer will not say uncle when it comes to God. He's like, I am not going to give Jesus the glory he deserves.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give God the glory he deserves. Because to honor Israel is to honor God.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one thing that we do here on VFN TV. We're here constantly talking about Israel, one, because we love Israel, two, God says, take care of Israel, bless
mm-hmm.
it, you know? And if you want to be encouraged, listen to the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu give a speech. It's like,
yes.
I remember speeches like that.
I saw a bumper sticker. You will not believe this.
What's the bumper sticker?
Netanyahu for president.
Oh, wow.
I saw it. But Israel needs a good prime minister, so we leave Netanyahu there.
Oh, my goodness. You know, his son is in the military there. You know, we've been praying for his son. Avner,
yeah.
And he just went straight into the front lines
mm-hmm.
and just amazing, you know, what all the Israelis do 2 years in the military before they...
That's why this $8.5 million donation right. is so significant, because it's a mandatory 2 years that they have to do, and they're
right.
willing to serve their country and protect the people.
We're going to go right to China and seeing what's taking place there. And this is great opportunities. And, I think what was prophesied by Dutch Sheets at the Appeal to Heaven conference on the Gulf Coast in Daphne, Alabama, at Church of His Presence, and we have that for you mm-hmm. in the Vif and Torch, is that in all this chaos and all this, trouble, that those that God has gifted with the ability to see the kingdom in this, that things are going to begin, new foundations are going to begin to be laid. This is that moment when the soil gets tilled and everything's turned upside down. That's when you plant your seed. That's when you mm-hmm. begin to launch. You're seeing great opportunities in the kingdom of God. Hard hearts have to be tilled up. People have been really tough in regards to stiff-necked and hard-hearted and blind minds, and you're talking to them about their need for Jesus and their relationship with God, and they would say, basically, in their responses, I have no need of nothing.
As long as comfort and convenience is always present, and as long as people are able to get what they think they need and want, then it doesn't hurt bad enough yet.
Well,
when you start taking
it,
these things away.
Yeah. And it says it very specifically in Revelation. He says, here you are, saying you have no need of anything, but yet you're poor, naked, and blind. And it's those times.
Absolutely.
That we discover, like,
he says, you think you're rich.
You think
you're rich.
Right.
You think you're rich, but you're not.
You're po, naked, and blind.
That's right. Pitiful and naked.
Pitiful po.
Pitiful and naked.
And it's like, God just sustains us, and if we turn our back on the sustainer of life, we're not sustained, and quite often, he gives us an opportunity to come back. We've been talking about God does speak. I mean, he does speak, and we have so many prophetic words on that, and I believe you can go to goddoesspeak.org, I think, or easy12.org,
easy12.org,
And it's a warning from God where he's saying, you know, he is speaking. And if we'll respond to him, he's loving. He is love. If we'll just respond, that's all he wants us to do is say, that's bad. What I did was bad. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I want, would you forgive me for this? Mm-hmm. And I want to follow you. And it's like a done deal. Maybe a little discipline. Yeah. Learn a little lessons.
That's okay.
But, you know, it's worth that than other than being totally separated from him. Listen to China. This is China going right now into a financial crisis. And this is a very large part. It's a large economy. Maybe the second largest economy in the world based on what I know right now. Mm. And 1.3 billion folks. And they're in financial crisis. They don't have a free market like we have a free market. They just they control their money. It's a communist country. They control birthing. For the longest time, you could only have one child. If you had one more child, they would actually kill it
or
wouldn't cover
everything.
It. They control the health care.
Yeah.
Now they're going, we'll let you have two children.
Yeah.
Any more than that, it's not covered or it's killed. And they've literally, there's reports where they've taken the children in the birthing room and taken that child to a bucket of water and killed that child because it was an additional child.
Yeah.
And so that's communism, by the way. But the church in China, which is huge, very powerful part of the church, that they're praying that when these leaders come together over this economic crisis and they're meeting right now, the communist leaders in China, that they would see, we just need to be a Christian nation. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Chinese Christians are getting fired up for Christ. Recently, many Chinese believers traveled to Beijing to get together for one purpose, a Jesus celebration. It comes as anxiety grows about the country's unpredictable economy and as the Communist Party gathers in the capital city to finalize a new budget. Christians gathered to pray for government leaders and their nation. Believers in Beijing organized an exciting and vibrant worship service. Through the singing of worship songs, they asked the Holy Spirit to help Chinese officials understand the urgency of changing China into a Christian nation. Some of the believers even invited non-Christian friends to join them. They believe it is time to introduce more Chinese to Christ.
I'm happy to be here with my friends. I don't know a lot about Jesus. I didn't know what to expect before I came. My friend told me it would be good for me in my life, but I just felt peace as soon as I started to sing along with the songs.
Besides singing, the worship leaders invited the attendees to pray passionately for each other. They also taught about the power of praying with one another.
This is the critical moment for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders. They need to understand faith is all we need. Believing in Jesus is good for us and the nation. I know God is listening to our prayers all the time.
Chinese Christians will continue to organize worship services at various locations throughout the year. They're praying the Holy Spirit will touch more unbelievers, especially among government leaders. Most importantly, they know miracles will happen through the uniting power of Christ. Meng Fei Li for CBN News.
So you're looking at now China, Puerto Rico,
Israel,
other countries around the world, and all the monies are tied together. You know, supposedly it was at one time America was a stable economy that you could depend on. Now, I mean, it is so unpredictable. They don't even know what to say about America and different countries and our friends. Mm-hmm. But listen, we've talked about this again and again. Prophetically, the Lord has shown me and shown John and shown others. And that, you know, you're looking at, you know, dominoes beginning to fall as crisis after crisis with Greece and financial crisis.
Right.
And believe me, that's like blood flow in your body. When the economy doesn't move, nothing really moves. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was, and you're seeing it today, it's easy to actually, everybody goes, yes, you have to understand the Lord said this to me before you're seeing it take place. Yeah. And what he showed me was like a vacuum in heaven, this one big, huge vacuum. And it was just, maybe you even have an image of it. I don't know. This money was just being sucked up into this big, huge pile of like a pyramid because it was being sucked up into one area, paper money. You hear it flapping around. And all of a sudden, John, all this paper money just turned to fire. It was like a mountain of fire and it was burning up all the paper money. And I believe the Lord was saying to me at that time that it's going to be a digital money. We're moving into digital currency, digital money. That was a vision the Lord had given me. But I know he also shows you specifically about the financial crisis with the stock market.
Yeah, I had a night vision where I was walking into a place of work and I saw all of my colleagues focused on a television screen. Everyone had stopped and they were bringing breaking news from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And the reporter said, I knew in the vision that this was that. It was about to happen. And so I went to gather my things so I can leave because I knew that, you know, people were going to be just all over the place when they heard what was going to, you know, be spoken. And so on my way back exiting the office building, that's when the reporter began to speak. And he said, I don't want you to panic, but before I tell you something. And so people started to get apprehensive, you know, all, you know, worked up. And he says, listen, the world as you know it is going to end in 6 minutes.
Wait a minute. This is a stock guy standing in front of the stock market.
So the reporter,
which is the money, the business ownership, basically all your 401ks, retirement plans, all that, you know,
investments, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. The reporter is reporting that the world as we know it's going to end in 6 minutes.
People were staring at their televisions.
Yeah, they started panicking. They started going all over the place, screaming. Yeah.
But 6 minutes is not enough time to prepare.
No. Yeah. And it was a rapid thing. It was a quick thing. And the number six is the number of man. It's also the number of idol. And right in Manhattan, you have this huge bull. And, you know,
Baal.
It's a Baal. It's a worship of money.
Which was given during the financial Black Monday crisis, financial crisis that...
Yeah.
Somebody from
1980s
from South America sent it to us, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And put it outside the stock market, like a bull or bear, but it's a Baal.
Well, right there in Battery Park, and you go out there, they're selling these bulls.
The same place they wouldn't put a Christmas tree. They moved
exactly.
it out of the way.
They'll sell you a bull, and people are doing this for good luck.
Standing
for money.
In front of Baal and taking pictures of that. It is just wild.
Wild.
So within 6 minutes... I mean, and this, if you've been following us, and you still can follow us historically if you haven't been following us, you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch on there, and it has prophecies specifically about America, prophecies specific about the world, and prophecies this, by the way, it's God telling us what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah.
He does that so we can let people know that it's going to happen before it happens, so they know that he exists and that he loves them and he's warning us, plus so we can prepare before it happens.
Yeah.
That's why God's people is prepared.
Yeah, and the important thing about the 6 minutes is not, this is not an exact number. Dreams are parabolic. They have symbols, the way God speaks. The 6 minutes represents, I believe, the quickness, the rapidness. And just like in what happened in 1929. I mean, one day they're saying the economy is fine, and the next day everything is done.
People were jumping out of windows the next day, and the American economy is built on confidence. That's why George W. Bush said, go out and shop, spend money.
Yeah, go spend money.
And people said, that makes no sense. But that's the only way America works. If people get paranoid and people aren't really spending money like they used to spend money, then it just starts locking up. So what's been happening, based on the reports that I've been hearing, is that the government's the ones that have been spending money. They've been printing money and spending money, printing money and spending money. You go to D.C., you see all these buildings being built, contractors, you know, the employment rate has gone up. Only because of government is getting bigger and hiring folks. That don't work because that means it takes people in the workforce to be able to pay the taxes, to be able to pay the government people because they make no money.
Not only that, but you're hearing a lot of candidates, people talking about all these trillions of dollars that are overseas and we got to bring that money back. Well, I heard someone say when you bring that money back, that's actually not a good thing because we're going to have inflation because now you're going to have more money than you have goods to buy. It doesn't work out that way. Listen, we got to trust God with the economy and get back to what the Lord is saying because we've left God.
And he's told us this is going to happen. And you know, pretty much what George W. Bush said during the crisis, the financial crisis, is that they got greedy and got drunk on the opportunity. And that really hasn't stopped. They kind of just continued on in that particular mindset. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.